You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon Kornheiser. He's taking the day off. Frank was just on Around the Horn, so who is going to fill in?
Sounds like a double payday for Phil and Frank, baby. I got college tuition
I
have to
pay. What are you, Cal Ripken? I mean, you
My
just...
My own.
You know, every inning of every game, you're there with those shades. Huh?
Thank you for having me. I've missed you. After your Jimmy Butler, you know, your boy Jimmy Butler is in the finals. I figured you'd be happy.
My favorite
today.
Player is doing pretty darn well. Welcome to PTI. In today's episode, the Heat and Lakers will meet in the NBA Finals. The Eagles settle for a tie. And Nick Foles is my new favorite player, along with Jimmy Butler.
I figured.
But let's start with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, who have combined for 6 wins, no losses, 23 touchdown passes, 23, and just one interception through the first 3 weeks of the season. Wilson threw for 5 scores in leading the Seahawks past the Cowboys yesterday, while Rodgers threw for 3 in beating the Saints. Frank, whose early success is more likely to continue, Wilson's or Rodgers?
Well, I could take the easy way out and say both. I mean, Aaron Rodgers did go 13-3 last season with the Packers. They lose in the NFC Championship game. He didn't play well. But the one thing about Russell Wilson, and Pete Carroll had a good quote, he said he's just on it. And when you look at the way that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers both play, it's somewhat similar to when Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were at their best. The game just comes so easy for both of them, and they're both so confident. And the way that the NFL now, everything is favored toward the offense, they're just tearing these defenses apart. I think it'll be Russell Wilson. Everyone's already talking about MVP in the 3rd week. I think that's absurd, but I like the role that he's on right now.
I heard something yesterday that Russell Wilson has yet to get an MVP vote.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable considering this is the 9th season,
media.
Right? No, not me.
Yeah.
I don't vote in that league anymore, Frank. But you know what? You're right about this, and it's hard to distinguish them, and there's no real need to try hard yet except for the purposes of our discussion. They are in physical, psychological, and emotional control of the game.
Yep.
Of their team, of the game plan, of your defense, often at least enough plays for them to make to get ahead and win the game if they have to come from behind. And it's just sort of staggering. I will say this, the surprise to me, Aaron Rodgers already, he and Matt LaFleur are having a love fest.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, I watched his post game yesterday. He talked about how Matt is in the rhythm of play calling
now,
which is true. But if you're going to ask me, I would say Rodgers, because his division doesn't appear to be as difficult as the NFC West, where Russell Wilson is going to have to play and survive. And you got more good teams there than you have in the Central, because Detroit is, even though they won yesterday, the Vikings are winless. The Bears, we still don't know, even despite 3-0. So Rodgers may have a little easier go of it.
You know, Mike, I'm watching the game, and I'm thinking, can you imagine how Russell Wilson would do against Seattle's defense? Because that is not the Legion of Boom.
No, it's not.
Michael Bennett is not walking through that door. Richard Sherman isn't. They've played 3 games. They've given up at least 460 yards. So he needs to keep them. He gave them a 30-15 lead. They gave the lead away. He had to come down the field for his 33rd fourth quarter game-winning drive. He has been outstanding. He might need to be that way.
He and Rodgers are going to have to play that way because neither one of their defenses is great.
No, they're not. Well, guess what, Mike? Somehow, some way, the Chicago Bears, they're also 3-0. They were down 23-10 to the Falcons in the second half when Nick Foles, there goes that man again, replaced Mitch Trubisky. Foles threw 3 touchdown passes down the stretch, 5 overall, if you want to include the 2 that were overturned, as the Bears roared back to win 30-26. All right, Mike, what's the bigger headline here? That Foles led the Bears to a comeback win, or that the Falcons blew another big fourth quarter lead?
Well, you're asking a person who for the entire weekend wore a Gale Sayers jersey. So there's my, you know, bias right off the bat. Look, Atlanta, I mean, my goodness, back-to-back, historic first for
Amazing.
Each of the 2 franchises, right? And I don't mean for the franchises, for the league. The first time a team has blown 2 leads like that in the fourth quarter in a season. much less successive games. And then the first time a team has had comebacks like that in the fourth quarter from that margin in a season, again, back-to-back. But, I mean, for me, I mean, the Bears and this quarterback situation, Frank, we don't have a quarterback. We don't know about quarterback controversy. People were calling me yesterday, what about your quarterback controversy? There's no controversy. Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback. They're trying to get rid of Trubisky. They bought Foles in to replace him. Matt Nagy didn't want to coach Trubisky. Now he doesn't have to. He's coaching the guy that he once coached a couple of times, and he's got him. And if he can stay healthy and upright, Trubisky's not going to be back in there, Frank.
No, and Nagy announced today that Nick Foles is going to be the starting quarterback.
Of course he is.
But, Michael, you knew once they brought in Nick Foles, it was a matter of time. If you go back to week one of the NFL season, Michael Wilbon on Twitter, who tweets more than his buddy Magic Johnson does, you're even calling for a change at halftime. What I find amazing is they're undefeated, and they're making this change right here. But when you bring in a guy that's already won a Super Bowl, and if you're the head coach now, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? You have to win. You knew they were waiting to make this change. They picked the perfect time because it ended up working out for them. But how about the Atlanta Falcons, though?
Oh.
On Arthur Blank's 78th birthday, how many more games are they going to blow? And to do it in back-to-back weeks, it's still not as bad as blowing the Super Bowl the way they did. But Matt Ryan's got to take a little bit of a hit here.
They all
he couldn't drive them
hit.
Down the field.
The head coach is going to take a hit with his
right.
job in the bye week if they don't pull it together. Real quickly, just one note on Trubisky. I'm doing this off the top of my head because I just thought of it. I think his record as a pro, as a starter, is 21-11. And now no one wants him back in the game in the city in which he lives and works and plays. And that's
they were 1-for-8 on third downs with him
look,
in there.
Look, when he threw that pick, and you can check my Twitter timeline since you brought it up. When he threw that pick, I texted right then, tweeted right then, you got to go to the bullpen. You've got to go to Foles.
And I don't mind doing that. Why, if we do that in baseball, if Max Scherzer's terrible in the second inning, we pull him out. What's wrong with they did it last season with Trubisky late in the game. I have no problem with that.
I didn't have any problem with it yesterday, and now you're right. He put it on a receiver in the end zone five times. Five times in a little more than a quarter and a half. So there we go. Meanwhile, Foles' old team, the team that was dumb enough to get rid of him, the Philadelphia Eagles haven't won a game yet this season. And as time ticked away in overtime yesterday, they didn't even try. With the game tied and 19 seconds left, Eagles coach Doug Peterson passed on both going for it on 4th-and-12 or trying a 64-yard field goal. Instead, he punted. Punted to the Bengals. Frank, was that the right move to punt and settle for the tie?
All right, so Peterson goes on Philadelphia radio today, WIP, and he says he regrets punting. I should have put the ball in my quarterback's hands. I think he's saying that because he wants Carson Wentz and the team to feel like he has confidence in him.
Well, he didn't. His actions said otherwise.
Because, and you know what? He's also looking at how bad that division is.
Yeah.
And a tie right there. I'm supposed to go for it with that offensive line and this quarterback who's clearly struggling. Now, if we don't convert there, who knows? One pass play. Now, Cincinnati's kicking a field goal. I lose that game. It's a disaster. No one likes ties. Not even the NHL. They got rid of ties. They only like ties over
soccer.
In Europe when they're playing soccer. Exactly.
Soccer.
But in this case, soccer. It's not the worst thing, believe it or not.
It's bad for morale, Frank. And I was thinking like you, when we're trained as sports writers, I listened to all of the talkers on TV this morning who played and coached the game, including Rex Ryan, and they made compelling cases that you had to try to win this game. And I came in it like you, and I listened to them, and I was converted. And it just seems like the Eagles, I mean, Carson Wentz, by the way, when he went to the end zone, reminded me of the play he got hurt on a couple of years ago. Maybe it was even last year. And I hate to see that, because as much as I think that Carson Wentz is overrated, I'm not attacking or criticizing Carson Wentz. I'm criticizing all the dopes that continue to tell you how great he's going to be. And right now, he's like 31st or 32nd. The only person below him in some of these stats is Trubisky. And I'm not saying bench him, because that is a knee-jerk reaction, as Doug Peterson suggested.
Mike.
He's your quarterback. But, man, to go for that, what is the morale like in a town like Philly? He's lucky there were no fans.
He's so fortunate.
But you know what? There's still talk radio, and there's still people walking around the streets of Philadelphia slapping themselves in the face saying, oh, my God, what are the Eagles doing?
Mike, he was thinking like a coach. They didn't lose the game. Let's remember, it was a tie.
Yep.
Washington's in that division. Do I need to tell you about what's going on up at the Meadowlands with both those terrible teams?
The Giants are the worst team in the league. The
and Giants then you got terrible. Dallas, who remember, yes. with the money on the line, they beat them last year in a game that they had yeah. to have. So I actually think he made the right move. A disaster would have been losing. A tie, I can live with.
Okay.
All right, Mike, the NBA Finals, they're set. The Miami Heat eliminated the Celtics last night behind 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists from big man Bam Adebayo. What a game he had. The Heat now face the Lakers and Anthony Davis, who averaged 31 per game against the Nuggets. Mike, do you see Bam Adebayo being a big problem for Anthony Davis?
He's a big problem for the Lakers. He's a yeah. big problem. The guy's good. He is skilled, he is long, and he is tough. Look, I know the conventional wisdom, and I'm not going to disagree with it, is that if you just rank the best players, if you lose PER, whatever personal ranking system you want to clutch to, you're going to have LeBron James at the top of it and Anthony Davis second, and all these players on the playground at one time, who are you going to choose, one, two? Those two.
Yeah.
But you know what? Jimmy Butler and Bam...
We knew it was
a problem.
Coming.
Yes, you do. You knew it was coming. They're a problem. I'm yeah. gonna go back, and we'll get further into this, you know, at some point soon. We got a couple of days before that series tips off Wednesday night in game one. But Jimmy Butler has played LeBron James even 17-17. Yeah. Does that mean something? We'll find out. We'll ask a lot of people. I know I'm gonna ask. I want to ask coaches and other players and scouts who analyze this stuff. What does that number mean to you, the 17-17? But going back to Bam, the game he had last night, he put it on himself. He put it on himself after game 5 and said, this was on me, I gotta be better, and he was great, Frank.
Well, what I love about Jimmy Butler is he makes an impact without always having to score. And you look at Tyler Hero, the games he's had, Duncan Robinson. But Bam Adebayo last night, Mike, there was a stretch over 46 seconds. The game was very much in the balance midway through the fourth quarter. He comes down, he gets the dunk on Daniel Tice. Might have been fouled on the play. Next time down, he hits a short little jumper, is fouled, three-point play. Next possession, he's double-teamed. He's got the left, double-teamed. He had the left-handed wraparound pass. So he gave you the full array of Bam Adebayo in those 46 seconds.
Yeah.
This is a talented player who fits right in with what they want to do down in Miami. What they've accomplished, what Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have done with this team. Now listen, both teams have gone from not being in the playoffs to now being in the NBA Finals. But Miami to bring this crew together this quickly, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, a free agent like Jimmy Butler, it's unbelievable.
It's a completely appealing team, yep. Miami on every level. And don't Bam and Jimmy Butler, don't they play with the personality of Alonzo Mourning and Pat Riley?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the sort of the DNA of that franchise and where they've gone and where they've been the last 20 years or whatever it's been since Riles got there. Wow. Wow.
Give me something on the Celtics real quickly. What do you think?
What do they have to do? Is it a small tweak? It's not an overhaul. They got too many good players. What's Danny Ainge going to feel
they
like
more
they need to do?
Size. Bam Adebayo killed them inside.
Everybody
too
wants
many
to play
layups
small
and
ball.
Dunks.
They all want to play small ball, except Riles. Let's take a break. But coming up, did the Rams get hosed by the refs in that loss to Buffalo?
And which college power was the more surprising loser on Saturday? Oklahoma or LSU?
All right, we didn't make picks in the NBA. We wait until Wednesday? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
All right.
I know who you're picking.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Listen, the mailbox is locked in Tony's attic, so I'm going to grab the emails out of this sparkling, beautiful Northwestern football helmet. By the way, Frank, how could I mention Miami and toughness and not mention Dwayne Wade prominently?
Mail time!
Can't forget about the South Side's own. That was a stupid omission.
He doesn't play
on
for them
my
anymore.
Part.
Don't worry
Dwayne
about
Wade,
it.
He's still there. He's still getting it done. He recruited Jimmy Butler. Did the Rams get hosed on the pass interference call?
All right, Mike, here it is, 4th and 8. From the 13-yard line, 25 seconds to go. Pass interference called on Darius Williams. I do not love the call, just like I didn't love the offensive pass interference call.
But look at him.
Michael
grabbing
Gallup.
Right there.
What
5 yards, 7 yards down the field.
Well, hang on. But they're going to say that they got robbed. Let's go back to the NFC Championship game. Remember the non-call on the Rams. This happens over the course of a season.
Yeah.
I don't like the call, though. I just don't.
I like the call. In live time, I liked it. When they showed the replay, I liked it. Last night when I was watching the replays again, I liked it. You can't hold the guy for 7 yards. He's got him. He's got his hands around the pants. Please, pass interference.
Both players had their hands up. Josh Allen just threw the ball.
The instigator is the defensive player with his hands around those shoulders. That is the classic definition of pass interference. Frankie, 7 yards he rode him down the field.
They should have stopped him on the 3rd and 22.
That's
then
true.
They would have won.
They had every chance to do that. All right, next one.
Next letter.
More surprising loss, Oklahoma or LSU?
All right, how about Oklahoma losing to Kansas State? They led in this game 35-14. They lose 38-35. That's pretty bad. But I'm going to go with Mississippi State over LSU. And how about KJ Costello? You need an Italian quarterback in the SEC. Threw for over 600 yards. Do you know in the last 20 years, 20 times a quarterback has thrown for at least 600 yards. Mike Leach has been the coach of 11 of those teams.
See,
you join him, just like Gardner Minshew.
I don't know that that loss was that surprising, given it's Leach we're talking
National
about.
Champs.
He's going to put it up. You know how he's going to play, which is something of a shock. I mean, really bad teams have tried this in the SEC, and it doesn't work because you're usually playing against a team with superior talent, and it might be the approach to take, but it doesn't work. But this is the second year in a row that Oklahoma has lost to Kansas State.
Yeah.
So how surprising could that be when it's twice?
By the way, LSU lost 17 starters.
Last one!
Including
starters.
The Heisman Trophy.
Yeah. That's a lot. Let's go to baseball, Frank, with the playoffs starting tomorrow. You got any bold first-round upset predictions you want to make, big fella?
All right, it's a little bit different this year. 16 teams will be in, got a little NCAA tournament feel to it. I'm going to go with the Marlins, maybe because of Derek Jeter, maybe because of
maybe
Don Mattingly, the manager.
Maybe you're just trying to upset me. That's
but
all you're trying
97,
to do.
But in 97, they made it to the playoffs. They won the World Series. 2003, they made it to the playoffs. Who'd they beat? There was that crazy play involving the fan who reached over and touched the ball.
Let's not deal with that.
The Chicago Cubs.
I don't remember that.
Get this time. Marlins, baby.
All right, I'm going to go for a couple of upsets. One, I'm glad the Padres and Cardinals are playing because Padres are the new team I like the most other than my own. The Cardinals I hate the most, of course. I'm worried about the Cubs and the Marlins. I'm not worried about the Dodgers losing or the Braves losing. In the American League, I don't know that you would call it an upset. I'm going to take the Astros, a 6th seed, over the 3rd-seeded Twins, if seeds mean anything to you. And I'm going to take the South Side team, the White Sox, the 7th seed, over the A's, even though the White Sox have lost 9 of 12
fallen
apart.
What about Yankees-Indians, then? You might as well fill it out. Who do you got there?
No, that's a 4-5. 4-5s, you can't call an upset.
All right.
Thank you for your emails. I appreciate them because Tony never does. Let's take one last break. We're still to come. The Chargers come so close to pulling off a final play for the ages.
And who's got the edge in tonight's showdown between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? Mike, 2003, do you remember that game?
No.
Marlins Cubs, the series?
No. I can't talk about that game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 58th birthday, Grant Fuhr. As the NHL season comes to a close, we salute the five-time Stanley Cup champ, the goaltender with the 12th most wins in NHL history, the first black player to win the Stanley Cup, and also the first inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. You want more evidence of Fuhr's greatness? He has the most points by a goaltender in history, the longest undefeated streak, 23 games, in history, and shares the record for most postseason wins, 16. And oh yeah, Wayne Gretzky has said any number of times he believes Fuhr is the greatest goaltender in NHL history.
You know, Mike, you think about that team in that era, that Paul Coffey was a defenseman, Mark Messier, Jari Kurri, of course Gretzky, who was as dominant as anybody, and Grant Fuhr. When you talk about great teams over the last 40 years, for that stretch, Edmonton,
they're first on
because
the
they
list.
Played in Edmonton, that was part of the problem.
But no, you're right, Frank. They are first on my list for that. Happy anniversary, Ted Williams. On this day 79 years ago, the Splendid Splinter completed perhaps the most notable final day in any season finale in the 140 years of baseball. The Red Sox preferred Williams sit out the final day of the season, a doubleheader against the A's, because he was hitting .3995, which rounded up would give Williams the first 400 season since Rogers Hornsby did it in 1925. Williams, who probably was the most confident man to ever play a professional sport in America, bet on himself, of course. Six hits, including a home run in the two games, lifted him to .406, and no one has hit 400 since.
But Tony Gwynn did hit .394, though, in 1994.
Yeah.
Mike, the amazing thing about Ted Williams that year, the final 13 games of the season, he went from .413 to below .400, and yet he still wanted to play in that last game to push that number over.
Almost
that's when men were men.
Talked himself out of it. Talked himself into the lineup,
yeah.
And then had sixes. Unbelievable. Happy trails to the Chargers winning on the last play of the game. They were down 5, and on the Panthers, 28, with 5 seconds left when rookie quarterback Justin Herbert completed a pass to Keenan Allen. Allen immediately pitched the ball to Austin Eckler, who couldn't handle it, when he had an easy touchdown in front of him. Allen said he could have thrown a better lateral. Eckler said, though, if it hits his hands, he's got to catch it. Accountability. The Chargers have been working on this play, Frank, for 2 years. They can't use it again now. A touchdown would have capped a drive that started on their own 1. Eckler said, how epic would that have been? I feel like someone punched me right in the face.
Poor Anthony Lynn. The execution wasn't there because the play would have worked. When you see that one replay, everyone was going to one side.
Yes.
He had the end zone all to himself.
Yeah, the overhead replay. What is it? The coach's film shows just acreage.
Really cool.
One correction. I saw Mitch Trubisky short.
Yeah.
He's 26-18 as a starter, including credit by rule for yesterday's win. How about that, Frank? We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Steven Goskowski credits removing his sock for kicking 6 field goals in the Titans' win. Does that make sense to you?
Sure, why not? By the way, Titans 3-0, Michael.
Yeah.
After missing the playoffs, the Angels fired GM Billy Epler. Is that deserved?
He got lots of bats, including Anthony Rendon off last year's championship Nats, but he didn't get the pitching, and the Angels once again aren't around. The lowly Jets are 0-3 after losing to the Colts 36-7. Is Adam Gase in trouble yet?
You know, they play the Broncos on Thursday night. If they lose that one, watch out. The Lightning can win the Stanley Cup tonight, will they?
All right. 3-2 lead they hold over the Stars. No, I got Dallas winning, forcing a game 7 in that bubble. Last one, Chiefs-Ravens tonight. Frank, who you got?
Possible AFC Championship game preview. I cannot bet against Patrick Mahomes. Just too good right now.
Well, I'll tell you, we missed last year. We're going to get it tonight.
Yep. All right, we're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We're over on the Deuce tomorrow, you knuckleheads. Now, to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Susie Culver and the Countdown Crew.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.